Welcome to the Fun and Sobriety Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan. I am an alcoholic. So, a lot of what I find myself thinking about presently, recently, it feels like I'm focusing a lot of my energy, or I don't even know if it's intentional, and my direction is at, I suppose, people who would qualify as, let's call them, high bottom drunks. And I suppose I'm hemming and hawing on that because I don't consider myself a high bottom drunk. I mean, I've got sobriety, I've got years of recovery, so that, you know, it'd be easy to presume that I, you know, my story didn't include a lot of the bullshit that, I don't know, colloquially, stereotypically, you associate with, you know, a real down in the dirt alcoholic. You know, I mean, most people have some vision of a very filthy, houseless, homeless person. You know, the people asking for money on the side of the road. That level of image. I don't want to call it a level, but they have that image of that having life having, you know, fallen apart to that degree, and that's what, you know, you picture an alcoholic to be. And yeah, no, that isn't me, but my story does contain a significant amount of loss and degradation and completely humiliating and humbling events and consequences of my behavior and my approach to living throughout a long chunk of my life. I don't know why suddenly I felt like the need to rationalize why I am or am not a quote unquote high bottom drunk, right? And if that's an unfamiliar term, the idea is a high bottom, meaning, you know, the whole approach of a 12-step recovery is you hit rock bottom. Everybody's heard the term rock bottom at this point. And, you know, that's intended to suggest the consequences of our alcoholism, our drug addiction, have reached a degree that we've lost everything, and we've hit a moral and spiritual and emotional and physical bottom that we know can't go any lower. And so, you know, it's a very real impact, and a very real inspiration, I suppose, for seeking recovery. I mean, if you're only one direction you can go is up, right? Then that's the time to start moving up, right? And the idea of a high bottom being, you know, someone who hasn't necessarily lost everything, hasn't necessarily wound up at a spot where truly there's no direction to go but up, right? Like, there's plenty more that could be lost. There could be plenty more, I don't know, deaths and DUIs and job loss and house loss, blah, blah, blah. And I suppose part of why I find myself, no, not I suppose, I know part of why I find myself thinking about this category of person or this approach to sobriety is a consequence of, you know, the work that I've transitioned to. You know, I'm working with people in a mental health capacity, and unsurprisingly, given my own background and just who I attract in the universe, a lot of the people that come to me or that I find myself working with, not a lot of, but some of them, are struggling with their own relationship to alcohol and drugs, primarily alcohol. And a lot of them don't necessarily consider themselves troubled or alcoholic drinkers or having alcoholism. And that's just in my professional life, and even in, you know, colloquially with my experiences navigating a world of recovery. You know, I run into people in my regular life, in my 12-step program, secret society life, people who also struggle with the idea that they fell into the category or fit the bill of a alcoholic or of a substance use, someone who's actually experiencing substance use disorder, right? That's the new terminology I've learned to adopt. And generally, people, at least the people that I am exposed to and find myself interacting with, are, for lack of a better way to put it, high bottom drunks, right? People who could lose more, who have had some kind of spiritual or emotional rawness occur in their lives as a direct consequence of their drinking that has at least given them the need to pause and question or ponder whether or not they're at something that can qualify as a rock bottom, I suppose, or just a bottom. And, you know, when the answer to that is yes, I do see this as a bottom, and I see this as far down as I want to go, then there's a whole prescription for what to do, or at least, you know, there's it's out there in the world for us. But the struggle to identify as an alcoholic, as somebody who needs to change their life, that can be a real thing, right? I mean, I've met lots and lots of people who would prefer to walk through the rest of their life either cycling through binge and abstinence periods with whatever low-level degree of consequences, be it, I don't know, you know, massive hangovers, unending fights with significant others and spouses, and maybe, you know, estranged relationships with the people in their lives that then they mend and get back together with, but or just low-level resentment towards them and from them towards their loved ones, you know, whatever it is, just a desire to just keep living in that fashion. Rather than, as I see it, simply have the humility to look at themselves in a pure and honest way and say, maybe this is something that I genuinely have a problem with. And I guess that's part of the rub, is how do you define what is a problem, right? Is it a problem because, well, I mean, I'm about to bury the answer in my description, because identifying whether it's a problem is only significant if the answer to that question is it's a problem because it's a problem to me at my core. And I suppose that's part of why I'm visualizing this through the lens of someone who considers themselves a high bottom drunk or is struggling because at best is struggling to embrace sobriety because at best that's how they would see themselves as a high bottom. It's struggling with identifying, is this really a problem for me? And connected to that is, if the answer to that is yes, what does that mean about me? Right? What does that mean? I can relate to that deeply. Because for me, I know, I mean, I knew I was drinking alcoholically long before I was willing to look at it or even consider that to be something I needed to do something about, air quotes. You know, it was almost that romantic idealization of, yeah, I'm a fucking alcoholic. And I don't know. I want to say that society romanticizes the alcoholic artist type, but I don't know. It's more of, I just kind of found myself really interested in that, fascinated with that, because, you know, I was jealous of the idea that, you know, the hard drinking, hard drugging, you know, artist who can then produce amazing things, like that's a cool idea. And I think part of why we get excited about, like, whatever the romantic idealization of Hemingway or Jim Morrison or whatever, stems because they are outliers, right? Like they were still able to produce stuff and, you know, hem significantly more than Morrison, in terms of longevity. But there's an argument to be made that like maybe a lot of their stuff would have been, or their ability to produce would have increased and extended had this demon not taken them. Whatever. Fuck, I don't know why I'm beebling about that, other than to say I can relate to the concept of struggling, or I can relate to the struggle of if this is a problem for me, if I am indeed a hopeless alcoholic, hopeless meaning like this, I can't really seem to do anything about this. No matter how I sit on my hands, eventually the monster takes over and then I turn into, you know, Mr. Hyde. And if that is indeed the case, whatever Mr. Hyde means to me, even if Mr. Hyde is, you know, being snappish with my significant other, being unfriendly with my kid in a way that I don't like, whatever that means to me, if I really am someone who is an alcoholic, who can't control this, who just starts to become a different person more or less the minute I start drinking, you know, what does that mean to me? What does that mean about me? That's a frightening thought. And I think that's what underlies the resistance to simply embracing the concept of being an alcoholic, being someone who can't manage my chemical dependency. Right? I'm pausing there to try and come up with some generalization, but I'll just keep it an alcoholic. That's a real thing, right? That concern over what does that mean? I mean, I remember, I was about to say, I remember struggling with this, but it's also not something that I directly acknowledged. And I suspect it's the same with the people in my life that I'm thinking of now, the people I see in recovery rooms, the people I see in therapeutic environments, people I just see in my life, that it's not necessarily a question of, you know, do I have struggle with alcohol? I mean, yeah, I mean that's something that can be hemmed and hawed on, and you can point to moments when it wasn't as bad as other moments when it was bad. So yeah, you know, on measure, I kind of got this thing under, you know, under control. So I don't think it's an issue. Blah blah blah. I don't register that it's a conscious thought of what does it mean if I am unable to control this, right? And I, you know, the institution of 12-step programs has been around for 90 years. The whole program started 90 years ago, and the use of it as a nationally institutional a treatment approach, I would venture, goes back to probably the mid 1950s, let's say. So it's been around all of my life and all of the life of basically everyone walking around today, even if they're older people there, it's still been a significant aspect of life. Point being, not only is it not simply a vague unknown of like, what does it mean? There's also kind of this boogeyman concept of, oh, it means I'm one of those types, right? And, you know, we got any degree of stereotypical view of what those types might be. And that sits in the background, right? And, you know, maybe those types are, well, no, not maybe. For the most part, those types tend to be pejorative, right? It's soft-minded religious freaks or cult-ish weirdos who have replaced some kind of organized religion with some kind of disorganized, bland adherence to what appears to be just another version of a Gideon Bible, right? And you go to a treatment place and you hear people talking about all of these things that are loosely connected to God in some way that is so soft-minded that you wouldn't, when you hear people talk about it, it's not only offensive in the same way that, you know, religious ideation is, it's got the increased negativity of being delivered by someone who can barely articulate what they're saying, right? Those types. I am not one of them. So if the idea that I am struggling with my relationship to alcohol, I mean, well, you know, if I have to admit that, that means I'm one of these types. And all of this is hovering around the word humility. Because I can relate directly to that sense of like, what does it mean if I can't actually stand to have alcohol in my system? Like, what does that mean? Does it mean that I am lost, right? Prior to whatever you want to think about the 12 steps that were born from the birth of Alcoholics Anonymous, prior to that, what that meant was pretty much a spiral down to just a terrible life and probably a short life and a painful death, right? To some degree, not even hyperbolic. It's, you know, being unable to stop drinking and getting to the point where your body is reliant on it and you have no solution other than sitting on your hands and hoping. I mean, that's a miserable existence. And what was offered here is something that does provide a path towards an improved life, an improved living. And I can really relate to that sense of like, oh my gosh, if this is true, then what does that mean about me? Does it mean I'm like that? And the spoiler of all spoilers, the most humbling thing that I can think of in relation to this is, yeah, I am just like them. I'm just like these people, because the spoiler is they're people, right? And that's the crux of this humility concept, is whatever my own judgmental view of what it means to be an alcoholic, what it means to be someone who goes to these goddamn rooms or interacts with these people or even just simply sits on his hands and can't fucking handle it, you know, like a grouch, grumpy person who just removes alcohol and doesn't have any improvement in their life, like whatever flavor of person out there, they are a person. I am a person. And for me, that's, you know, that's the crux of humility, is recognizing, yeah, I've got a lot of positive qualities. I was born with a nice functioning brain that can think logically and abstractly and do a lot of great things that do a lot of things that wind up having great consequences for my life. They're also negative consequences, right? It's the brain chemistry that has also led me to recovery, you know, and led me to fucking falling on my lips drunk all the time. That led me to recovery. Whatever. I am a person just like these people. And, you know, people who find themselves in a high bottom position, which is to say at a spot where they can have rational, logical denial of the degree of consequences they've faced and thus can rationalize themselves into continuing to use well past the point where inside they know or they feel strongly that they are struggling with alcohol, struggling with their relationship to alcohol, that they are drinking alcoholically, even if they sweep that under the rug and only focus on the parts of them that, parts of their lives and the parts of the lack of consequences that justify ignoring it as a problem. Underneath all that is the prideful sense of, I'm not like one of them. And the message I have is, you are. We are all people. To some degree, even if the exact flavor of what my experiences are not, they don't line up in a functional way that makes it recognizable to someone on the outside, someone, you know, somebody who doesn't know me, who just sees me across the room or, I don't know, hears me on this fucking thing. At my core, I'm driven by fear. I'm driven by lust and hunger and thirst and there's a baseline level where I relate to you in a way that you can relate to me, no matter what else is going on. And, you know, for me, that was a weird, weird in that it felt weird to have that be an epiphany of, like, what it means is if I'm like that person, if I'm like these, you know, these people spouting off this weird stuff in these weird rooms, it means I'm also an alcoholic like them. And it can be, you know, especially to get myself out of the way, to get my pride down and to embrace the humility of just being like, yeah, I am an alcoholic. And what that means is, just like these people, to some degree, when I drink, I lose control. I kind of don't like who I am. I don't like the consequences, and I don't seem to be able to stop no matter what I try. Right? Not forever. I don't know. In my own specific history, you know, like it always comes down to this anecdote of me sitting in a treatment center and going through family day, and which is, you know, the time for family members to come and hear us in the treatment center talk about our experiences, and then, you know, followed by us sitting in the treatment center being able to hear our family members talk to us about their experiences of our behavior and whatever. And in my share with my family, I laid out all of these, you know, this sad story of, you know, abandonment and fear and feeling alone and isolated and sad and all of these underlying aspects of my history and, you know, the traumas I experienced that all contributed to me, you know, seeking alcohol, seeking an escape, right? I remember writing all of it down, trying to like navigate through, like, why did I drink? Why? And contained in that was like some kind of attempt to explain it so that it made sense in a way, so that in my head, that was my approach. I needed to explain it. I needed to wrap my arms around it so then I could face it. And it wasn't feeling right. I could feel it as I was writing it, as I was presenting it to the group, because it wasn't just to my family. It's like a whole group of, you know, it's a group of us from the center and all of their families. So I'm presenting it to all of this room full of people. And, you know, I've got enough theater arts in my background that I'm adding flourish. And this guy who was there as a family member to some other member of the group, he shared that he's like, yeah, I'm an intellectual, just like what you described. I also went to graduate school. I have advanced degrees, and I couldn't figure out, you know, why I couldn't stop drinking. I just kept like coming up with reasons for why I needed to drink and why, you know, in hindsight, why I wound up drinking. And one day it occurred to me that I just wanted to be drunk more than I wanted to be sober. And for whatever fucking reason, that guy saying that to me in that moment, it just clicked, right? When I drink, I want to get drunk, period. And I've struggled through my life trying to avoid that feeling that if I drink, I'm going to get drunk, right? Verbalizing it, it kind of loses its weight, I suppose, because contained in that was just the awareness of like, oh, I drink because I'm a drunk, right? It's as simple as that. And, you know, the rational, logical mind from there just went like, beep, beep, boop, 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 like, oh, you're a drunk. You're a drunk. Oh, those people over there that you've all this time been trying to come up with a way to rationalize why you aren't exactly in their category because of A, B, and C and having consequences X, Y, Z. Nope. They're drunk. They're drunks. You're a drunk. You know, the foundational principle of algebra, right? Like, I'm a drunk. I'm one of them. And I don't know. I suppose starting all this off by saying I'm in my mind aiming this towards high bottom drunks, towards people who are resistant to the idea of their own alcoholism. I suppose that's in my head of like, I'm hoping that reaches someone out there who falls in that category and they can hear this simple idea. When I drink, I want to get drunk. And the reason I drink is because I want to get drunk. And there's no other deeper explanation needed. There's no other rationale of like, you know, I like to pair my wine with steak. It's not, you know, I'm at a wedding, so it makes sense to celebrate. Like, I'm fishing, and so, of course, I'm going to have 900 beers on the river. Whatever it is, those are all just words to put in there because at my core, I want to get drunk. I drink because I want to get drunk. And embracing that thought, embracing that idea, and recognizing it as an internal driving force, it's humbling. It is truly humbling. And being able to sit in that humility, that awareness of like, oh, I am just like whatever my negative view of what that means to me is, that's actually where I'm at. If at my core I can just recognize this and accept this. It's one of the most freeing experiences I've ever had in my life. And I wish that for anyone who questions their own relationship to drugs and alcohol, specifically alcohol. It's a freeing sensation to accept, oh, I drink because I want to get drunk. And that's a problem. Anyway, I have a feeling that I'll just continue voicing similar ideas here, because contained in this is also the key or core of, you know, look for the similarities, right? If I am exactly the same as that person over there at this level of this, like, when I drink, I need to get drunk, then there's a similarity, and the rest of the stuff that that person might share and the rest of their experiences may be completely foreign to me, but at my core, I share this with them, and that's enough. And I don't know, maybe that'll be the focus of this podcast for a while. I don't know. I'm terrible at making conjectures about this thing, because I just kind of go wherever. But those are my thoughts for today. And, you know, if nobody's told you they love you today, I'll tell you, I love you. And I hope you have a terrific day. Thanks for listening.